Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today, but first we have this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guest is Bill Collins, the owner of Center Square Grill in East Longmeadow. Happy to have you here on Business Talk, Bill.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I know you're celebrating 10 years at Center Square this spring, which is a big deal. And I do want to talk a lot about your experiences there. But first, to kick off, I know you've got a long background in the restaurant business, from starting at your family's establishments in New York to your years working for Claudio Guerra here in Western Mass to opening Center Square. Tell me about that journey and what you learned at each stop along the way.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, now that I'm where I am, I look back and it feels like, you know, it's no longer a little magazine article. It's a chapter book now, you know, so there are definitely some different chapters. And, you know, it really has been like a whirlwind of experiences. And I've had great friends and people along the way. But starting back on Long Island, I really didn't know if this was going to be my forever journey, but, you know, after really coming up to Massachusetts, you know, working in some corporate restaurants, but meeting Claudio, that's kind of when it solidified that, you know, this was going to be for me, you know, at that point being, you know, a younger guy, working with, you know, this guy, Claudio had so many successes at that point. You know, it really opened my eyes to who I hoped to become in this industry. And that's when I knew I was going to eventually go for it on my own. And luckily, Center Square Grill was that step. And, you know, thank goodness, you know, so many restaurants don't make it. People smarter with more experience have certainly failed in this business. And we've had, I think, you know, equal parts luck and hard work to be successful 10 years later.
Definitely. So what was your initial vision for Center Square Grill when it opened in 2014? What did you see as the main draw, the main focus of what you wanted to present to patrons?
Well, I mean, starting off, it's a fantastic location. And, you know, let's just, you know, get it out there. East Longmeadow, Longmeadow, Wilbraham, you know, no perfect access to the highway. You know, kind of a tough place to get to. So equal parts makes it a tough place to leave, right? Because then you got to get back. And so, you know, my thought was great location. We've got this audience kind of within, you know, a large enough area that I think would like a good place that they don't have to drive 30 minutes to get to. And so we looked around and we looked at the competition. And at that point, to be honest with you, 10 years ago, you know, it was a toss up between red sauce, you know, Italian and Chinese. And so we said to ourselves, well, maybe we should try something different. You know, Spoleto was here. It didn't work. And I really think customers in this area had already found their Italian restaurant that they'd been used to for 20 years and liked. And so Spoleto just didn't hit the mark in the right spot. And so we said, you know what, let's do creative American. In that genre, you know, you can do so many things. If I want to do an Asian inspired dish, nobody's going to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. This is an Italian restaurant. If I want to do a Cajun New Orleans style dish, nobody's going to say, hey, you shouldn't do this. You know, so I felt like it would really be a broad concept that I would be able to really appeal to the masses with. And luckily, I think we hit it right at the right time. And we've had a great run.
I know when I wrote about you about a year into after opening the place, I talked a lot about how the you wanted to make the bar service special as well. It was not an afterthought, but that was kind of a really integral part of what you wanted to present as well.
Sure. Well, you know, it was funny because the bar there in that location and being somebody that was privy to, you know, the Spoleto build out, there are many different things that had happened through the evolution of that bar, but it started off as a 9-seat bar, and it was kind of comedic, you know, the way it was laid out. But you know, it's the way that the town had approved it at that time, and how it needed to be. But really, when we expanded that bar, you know, I had a meeting with the bar manager and Heather Hand, and I had said to her, listen, Heather, you know, this is going to be an undertaking. And if you really stay the course and you treat your customers during the day that come in for a quick lunch, you know, and make sure that you've made it special for them. You've thought, hey, let me make a special popcorn dusted with truffle salt today. Let me, you know, put out, you know, little platters on, you know, Valentine's Day today. Let's put out a little chocolate for everybody, or chocolate covered strawberry. If you do that, if you make it just a little more special than the people around us, I promise you, you're going to develop the clientele. Mm. And I got to tell you, you know, she, especially during the day, single-handedly developed what I think is the best daytime bar business in the area. It's unbelievable the amount of people. I mean, that bar, those seats are filled, you know, from 11:30 in the morning, and it goes all the way through until the evening. You know, I mean, we do a solid business in the 2 and 3 o'clock range, which, in all honesty, that's like, if you don't have to shut down and you can churn out those extra dollars, I mean, it really helps pay the bills.
You guys also do catering and special events, right? I checked your website on that. How did that side of the business develop, and how has that been?
It's been fantastic. You know, we do a lot of grab and go catering, but we also do offsite weddings. We do all of the catering events at this point at Monticello in Somers, Connecticut, which is fabulous. And, you know, that's developed into a very big portion of our catering revenue. But overall, catering is a fantastically profitable thing, because typically you're catering where you're not paying rent, paying utilities, paying insurance, you know, so you're only overhead really is your labor and your food, right? And so, you know, it really is a great thing, especially in the state of this economy where food and labor is at an all-time high. If you can cut out those ancillary expenses, it actually helps make the restaurant more profitable, because if we didn't do any of that, I've got to be honest with where things have gone in the past, you know, 18 to 24 months financially, it you know, it's changed quite a bit.
Sure. I do want to talk about the challenges of the last few years in the second half of our conversation, but just kind of going back to the beginning, do you feel like it was a success right off the bat, or were there certain challenges that you didn't expect that you dealt with opening your own place?
You know, there's certainly been challenges along the way. The good news is, to answer part A, that question, it was successful right off the bat. You know, originally, I had a business partner, Michael Sakey, wonderful guy. And we did our numbers and we did our projections. And right out of the gate, we beat those projections, and it continued to grow from there. You know, but we did hit some hurdles and, you know, along the way, just like any restaurant does, you know, we wound up having a sprinkler leak that, you know, closed us down for 6 weeks, and, you know, it was a big insurance claim. Mike and I decided to move in different directions at a certain point, which was, you know, an unexpected and difficult thing to navigate through. You know, that's never easy. But in the end, I think looking back over the 10 years for a restaurant that does the volume we do, I think overall, you know, we've navigated any bump that came our way to the best of our ability and done a pretty good job with it.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with Bill Collins, the owner of Center Square Grill. Now, obviously, the last 4 years have been an interesting time, to say the least, for restaurant owners and workers and the whole industry. What was your pandemic story? How were those years, 2020 and 2021? What were they like, as you had to close for a time and then kind of work through the recovery?
Well, the good news is, with the wine that we consumed, we don't remember most of it. No, I'm just kidding. you know, it, uh, it It was interesting. You know, I feel like anybody that could navigate through that successfully, you know, really showed their true colors and is fit to be in business. You know, my personal story is pretty cool. We really, I think, did a great job of connecting with our major audience, our customers, via Facebook Live a lot to keep them in the loop of what we were doing. I think we built one of the coolest bar setups to be able to keep people coming into the restaurant, where we had built dividers that actually clipped onto our bar that were really nice wood dividers that actually made like little two-seat areas for people to still be able to come to a bar, because that was really something that was missed. You know, we did the to-go when we had to do the to-go. I will tell you, though, one of the most interesting moments of the pandemic, and it was an emotional one for me, was the one when, you know, I remember, you know, President Trump had made some statements about needing to shut down the economy and shut people down. And then Governor Baker at the time had, you know, decided to pull the plug on in-house dining. And, you know, I shed some tears that day. You know, there was so much uncertainty. And, you know, at that point, I had a couple of young kids. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, wow, my income is gone. You know, here I am. Sure. You know, I'm at this point, you know, in a great stride in business. And boom, income's gone. And all of a sudden, I'm like, am I getting a job? Am I staying the course? What am I doing here? You know, because it was an uncertain moment. So that was an interesting day. And I remember hugging it out with a couple of friends at the restaurant. And it was really a tough moment, but one I look back on often, because it made me really realize how thankful I am to be a business owner and to be my own boss and to create my own destiny. And it really, so my pandemic story, you know, it was a great run. It forced me to throw some fire in the belly. It made me connect with other restaurateurs. The late Andy Yee became a really good friend through the pandemic. He and I spoke almost on a daily basis about strategy and you know, things we should be doing together. I put together a big ad for locally owned restaurants called Strength in Numbers. And we did a big gift card promotional sale to be able to influx our businesses with some cash flow to sustain operations. And, you know, I think overall it was not, if I could choose to not go through a pandemic, I would, right? But I think it was an awesome experience in a way too, because it made people really think out of the box and be creative of how to stay relevant and stay on the forefront of your customer's mind for reopening.
You know, you mentioned talking to other restaurateurs, not just Andy, but others. Some people might be surprised at to hear about, you know, that kind of relationship. Do you feel like this camaraderie between restaurant owners in any region, because you're all kind of in the same, facing the same challenges and trying to succeed and pull
rising? Undoubtedly, you know, not just Andy, but, you know, Ralph Santinello from the Federal, he and I were talking often. You know, Peter Roskotten and the Mick from Delaney, Andrew Brow from Jackalope and Highbrow, who was a business partner of mine at the time in Highbrow. Yeah, you know, Claudio, we were on the phone all the time. And, you know, because there were many different things to navigate. Number one, regulations, they were changing on a daily basis, keeping each other in the loop on what we were hearing from the MRA and the NRA, talking about how we would face the reopening challenges. Also, you know, really figuring out for us how we were going to deal with vendors and bills. You know, one of the things that I did right away was, through the help of Frank Fitzgerald and Governor Baker's office, we got onto the phone with them immediately, because with liquor invoices in the state of Massachusetts, you get 60 days to pay the liquor invoices. Otherwise, you get what's called posted. If you get posted, you can't take any deliveries, okay, until you've paid. So instantly, all cash flow stops. You know, we're not buying any more liquor. And so what we got the governor's office to do was to put a temporary pause on posting any of the restaurants that serve liquor, because the governor mandated that we couldn't serve liquor, right? Yeah. We couldn't have people there. And so with the help of Frank Fitzgerald's office and Governor Baker, we got that temporary pause on restaurants being posted. And actually, they took all of those COVID invoices, pre-COVID invoices, and gave us the opportunity to pay them off over a period of time while starting up a new account, pretty much. So, you know, it gave us that little bit of breathing room from a cash flow perspective. And so all of these little things we worked on through the restaurants, we, you know, some of us had ties with New Valley Bank. New Valley Bank came on and did a Zoom for us about the PPP and, you know, strategies for that. I mean, it really was a great time of camaraderie, not just within the restaurant business, but within business owners in general. Mm, you know, yeah. we really stayed connected. It was an awesome thing.
Now, speaking of challenges of today, I know, you know, we've heard a lot in the restaurant business and in other sectors, but especially in this sector, that, you know, the challenges like inflation and supply chain issues and maintaining a workforce. Have those been kind of persistent challenges over the last couple of years for you guys? And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's you know, the unfortunate part is we certainly have not been able to keep our prices moving in the direction that they need to move in order to cover the costs. And in fact, there's a bill right now that's trying to raise the server minimum wage from the $6.75 an hour to the $15. And that's a really scary thing in front of us, because, for instance, if I took last year's numbers and I moved all of my server wages from $6.75 to $15 an hour, you wouldn't be interviewing me about Center Square Grill right now. I'd be close. I'd be insolvent. And so, you know, that's now the next hurdle that we're fighting. However, you know, it's been a major change, you know, from inconsistency of product. You know, for the first 6 years I was open, you know, the same greens every single week, you know, never wavered, always the same product, to getting to a point where some weeks I could get them, some weeks I couldn't. I had to replace with something else. So, you know, one of the things I think that builds a strong restaurant foundation is consistency. And so the inconsistent product has been a major issue. The rising costs, it seems like every different area of our industry has had their day in the sun to price gouge. You know, it's like the middle of winter. And of course, it's predicted to be the worst lobster season ever. And, you know, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, pre-packed fresh shucked lobster meat goes from $28 a pound to $48 a pound, you know. But, you know, everything, scallops doubled, garlic doubled, you know, and yeah, sure, I could use Chinese garlic that has a metallic twinge, but I think it tastes like garbage. I'm not going to use it, you know. So yeah, what do? You buy American garlic at double the price. Can I charge double the price to all of my customers overnight? No, I'd have an empty restaurant. And so then, you know, with the increases in unemployment assistance, you know, you had to, you know, really increase your wages to your workforce to get them to come back. So, you know, guys that were used to making 16 an hour were demanding 20, you know, guys that then were making 18 an hour were demanding 25, because if the guy making 16 is making 20, they need to make their 25. Right. And so it's been a really challenging thing. And the way we've dealt with it, in all honesty, is we've always, my wife and I said, as long as we get our weekly paycheck and we're not losing money, we're okay. Right. Yeah. And so we've been able to roll our sleeves up and do as much as we can to at least be in that situation. You know, it's, if we were doing the volume that we were doing post pandemic with the profitability we were doing pre pandemic, things would be really good, you know. But but, you know, listen, I'm open for business. I got 90 employees. I'm a happy guy with a good family. It's, money's not everything. You know, we're viable, we're open, and things are good, you know?
You know, you say you have 90 employees. I mean, how does a successful restaurant retain sufficient staff these days and, you know, keep them loyal, keep them happy? I know it's got to be a, with so much extra leverage, I think they have these days. That's got to be a challenge too, right?
It's certainly a challenge. Listen, there's a lot of options, but I think mine is the simplest, right? You know, about 45 of those 90 are front of the house employees. If you maintain a good top level number and your volume is solid, those employees are going to want to be there because their earnings are based on sales, right? Yeah. So if you can do the sales, those people are going to be happy. Then it really does come down to the fact that those other employees, the people working the dish station prep, you know, trying to be as good to them as possible, be as friendly. You know, I walk in, I say hello to everybody. I look people in the eye, I shake their hands, say thank you for being there. Thanks for joining the team. When we hire somebody new, you know, we try to operate as if I'm an hourly employee. You know, I try to treat people the way I want to be treated, you know. And listen, I'm no perfect employer. There's things that don't end well sometimes, but I do my best to treat people the way I want to be treated. And that's how I operate the business as a whole, from customer to employee. And that has not failed me. You know, I mean, being a human being with feelings, I mean, if you walk into a restaurant and I ignore you and treat you like nothing, you're not thinking about running back to that place, yeah. Right? But if I say hi, shake your hand, acknowledge your existence, want to connect with you, I'm a people person. If I'm there, I want to connect with people. You know, it's nice to see people. It's nice to say hello and see a smile. And I believe that's part of what keeps people coming. And I really try to instill that into the staff, because I'm only one guy. You know, we serve 2,700 people a week. For me, wow. I can't shake 2,700 hands a week. You know, at a certain point, I got to take my kid to like baseball practice or like, you know, help them with homework, right? So yeah. I need this next generation of people working with me to also rise to that occasion and see the same importance in that personal connection to be able to carry that torch as our business continues to grow.
Definitely. And Bill, our time's almost up, but I just need to ask you, you know, 10 years into the success story, looking ahead to the future, what do you enjoy most about your work?
You know, for me, I got to tell you, it's the people. I've said this before, but when I sit back in the corner of a restaurant that I've built and I see people enjoying and having this little bit of escapism going on, whether it be they got a babysitter and they're having a date night or they're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and the whole vibe is feeling good, the music's spot on, the lights are at the right feel, the food is good, and I just see two people so happy together enjoying their night, that's what does it for me. That's like my hair just stood up on my arms right now. That honestly is what does it for me. I love giving people that small escape, even if it's for an hour. And, you know, as we look forward to potentially the next 10 years, I hope to be able to continue to do that at a high level. And, you know, I've been working on a TV show, which is a fun thing, called The Food Explorer, which is launching. And oh, wow. So we're going to be on Nextstar on 22. And that's really exciting. And so, yeah, we've got a bright future, I hope. We got a lot going on. So it's a lot of fun. And I really do appreciate you having me here to talk about some of it.
I appreciate you being here. That's all the time we have for today, but thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me and sharing your experiences at Center Square Grill.
Well, cheers. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.